Accession number 15111, reel 3.
Commander Higginson, reel 3. I think that a few days afterwards, you got the 7th kill on the 16th of August. Any memories about that one?
My logbook shows engaged a large force of bombers and fighters, shot down Dornier in flames on Whitstable Bay. Own aircraft caught fire, crash landed, bruised. Yes. What happened here was that I attacked this one from the side and firing at it as I was coming up towards it, and suddenly the area behind the wing started to glow like a cigar, and obviously it had caught fire, and it then crashed on the beach at Whitstable. And it so happened that I had one of the very few cameras fitted to my aircraft at that time, and I thought, well, I would make use of the rest of the film. And I diving down onto this aircraft, which was burning, and photographing it, and suddenly my own aircraft burst into flames. And obviously what had happened was that he'd put an incendiary or some delayed action bullet or what have you into my aircraft, and so I had to land virtually alongside the burning aircraft on the ground, and I crash landed and broke my nose on the gun sight, and had great job getting out of the airplane, because I couldn't I'd forgotten trying to get out in a hurry, I'd forgotten the fact that my oxygen mask, the tube supplying the mask, came in on the right-hand side of the cheek, then wound round the back of the body and was bayonet locked into the oxygen supply on the right-hand side of the aircraft. So I was got out of the aircraft with this pipe still attached, and I wondered, oh, hell, it's going to blow up at any time with me with it. And then suddenly something gave, and the tube broke or disengaged itself. I don't know what happened, but I did a backward somersault into a pile of cow shit, and I ran out away from the aircraft by then, and picked up by London Irish Rifles. I've got a letter somewhere here. I must look it up for you. Where they picked up bits of the Dornier and sent them to me to keep as a memento. I've got it here somewhere.
Did you have any other injury apart from a broken nose?
Broken nose? No. My logbook said bruised. I was back on duty 2 days later.
And this was your 8th kill on the...
On the 18th.
Do you remember that one?
Engaged last force for any bomber the fighter has got shot down one down here, 215. I do remember it because I landed after the engagement, having been shot at and being conscious of the fact that I had been shot at. And as I taxied into dispersal hut, I pulled the stick back. I noticed that it stayed back instead of going forward, which it usually did. And what had happened, in fact, the elevator controls had been damaged, badly damaged, and then the force of me pulling them back broke the wire.
And that was at Rochford.
This was North Wheel. Landed. We took off from North Wheel, you see. Landed Rochford, saw a flight shoot down. Engaged large force enemy bombers, fired rescue. So I went. I've got all my combat reports, by the way, somewhere. I was locked away. It seems from the logbook as if we were then operating from Rochford and going there every day. And then on the 25th of August, my logbook says I got my number 9, Met Bombers 110, short port engine on fire, own aircraft covered in oil, probably destroyed. So that's what the logbook says. And on the 10th, on the 26th, I mean, the next day, Met Bombers and escort fighters shot down 109 into the sea off Herne Bay. The squadron got 7 victories that day.
Do you remember either of those two fighters?
Well, that one, obviously, I remember well, because my aircraft was covered in oil from the bomber I had destroyed. It had to be cleaned down. The Herne Bay one, I don't remember, no. That was August the 26th. Then I was airborne again on the 26th with a different airplane, obviously. I got blitzed by one on the 30th. I was attacked by 109. I wasn't shot down anyway. And then there was a mass attack on Luton on the 30th. The squadron got approximately 5 aircraft destroyed. My own aircraft was badly shot up, but I didn't have any success in shooting other aircraft down that day.
How do you remember the shooting up? How it happened and where the aircraft was hit?
Yeah, well, no. I don't remember. I found it when I was on. I'd landed, but I can't remember it in the air. Engaged in attacking this mass attack on Luton. I don't know, a hell of a lot of airplanes around at the time. Then on the 31st of August, attacked D-109, ME-110, thousands of them. Blitz bomber shot down one ME-9, crashed in flames near Capital. That was Colchester. Was it Colchester? Yeah, Colchester was the capital, wasn't it?
Capital was the code name for Colchester.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's a code name or whether this is my Colchester, the big town in
not Chelmsford.
Oh dear. Could be Chelmsford.
Do you remember that 109 that you shot down as the 11th kill?
No. But I just saw him go crash. I saw him go down and crash into a field, but it was just another aircraft. On the 31st, on the 30th, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sorties. Sure, it was a very busy day. 31st, I had 1, 2, 3, 4.
You say there were thousands of them. Yeah. Do you remember being heavily outnumbered during the Battle of Britain?
Oh, the Fenova, absolutely. I mean, time and time again when we were outnumbered. But it wasn't a question of numbers, really, so much as they were pursuing their course to wherever their target was, and we attacked them from behind on the side. Quite often we were late in being told to take off, and they were too tall, up too high for us. It wasn't as one imagines, you know, that once you take off, you're put into an ideal position to attack these things. Sometimes you had to attack them from the side. Other times they were too high, and by the time we got up to the height, they'd gone. Then on the 31st of August, Kim Whitehead, Sergeant Whitehead, was shot down. He bailed out okay. And our flight commander had obviously been killed. We had a change of flight commander. Then on September the 1st, we'd had a bit of a beating in the earlier months of the Battle of Britain, and we were then moved down to Boscombe Down to re-equip with aircraft and new pilots, and I was promoted. I was commissioned in September to a pilot officer and given command of the flight a couple of months or so later. I had, in any case, for quite some time been leading the flight as a sergeant. Flight sergeant, I mean. Oh, God. This is one on the 12th of September.
The 14th of September.
No, the 12th. I chased an 88, but he got in cloud, 10-10's cloud, and I gave it up. I couldn't. He was going out to sea. I didn't take it any further. Then on the 14th, I had the same experience. A Dornier Duo 17 went into cloud, and I flew above the cloud for about 40 miles out to sea, and I got him as soon as he came into the clear, and he dived into the water.
Was this at Boscombe Down?
That's at Boscombe Down, yes. You see another one. Attacked a 110 Jaguars. Bunch of them got port engines, streaming glycol, seen by Plaza and Edwards, not claimed. On the 27th, 28th, ME109 started to blitz us, but lost their nerve and shot off home.
Was that typical or unusual for them to lose their nerve?
Well, you know, you can't make a comment like that, really.
That was on the 28th of September.
Yes. Then 29th came back to Boscombe again, and then on the 30th attacked 110s and 109s, thousands of them, got engine of one seen by Smythe, also blitzed a 109, no results, landed Boscombe Down. That was later confirmed as destroyed by Marston, who was shot down in the fight.
Pilot officer Marston?
Yeah.
So that was a 109 confirmed.
Yeah, that's right.
For the 30th of September.
And then on the 30th, same day, attacked a large force of Dorniers, escorted by lots of 110s and 109s, got 110, both engines, this time seen to crash by Pilot Officer Williams, 152 Squadron Spitfire. These, I think, were the raid that... the raid that hit Weymouth, I think, and there's a book being written now. Oh dear, a book being written about this, and there was a big ceremony down there the other day. Anyway, I was invited and I couldn't go. There my name appears. now in the logbook for the first time as Flight Lieutenant Officer Commanding B Flight. We're still at Boscombe Down. I'll show you.
We'll look at the look at the photographs later.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're into October 40. Yeah.
Not much activity. Certainly lots of flights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16 sorties. Flap, no luck, flap, no luck, flap, no luck, squadron formation, flap, no luck, air test. Nothing doing in those that day. Then we had a new flight commander now, Gracie. That's the chap in the picture in the corner there.
And then November 1940?
We were recovering and re-equipping and practicing squadron training, you see, had squadron training.
Is this still Boscombe Down?
Still at Boscombe Down, yeah. I beg your pardon, this is Middle Wallop. We'd move then.
Middle Wallop on Salisbury Plain.
That's right, we'd moved up to Middle Wallop then.
And then December 1940, into the winter.
Yes, well, a lot. There was some activity, flap stupid, formation patrol, and mostly training. That's Victor B. Mission, station commander, in North Weald. He's in the corner there. January, not much activity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sorties only. Oh, here is the first, it looks like. The first offensive operation. This was in the 10th of January, close escort to Bomber Force Forest Aguin, led by the squadron, not intercepted. And then February, aerobatics, sweep French coast, flap and weather, offensive sweep. The offensive seems to be coming into its own again. Sutton Bridge, weather tests, flap, patrol convoy, shoot up.
That's in February.
Flights then back at North Weald now. Twenty-four, and then all convoy protection.
This is March 41.
March 1941. These were height tests, 30,000 feet with Hurricane 2s. Some convoy protection. Quite a lot of flights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 24 flights almost every day. 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33 flights in March, so more than one a day. And I was promoted then flight commander. That's my first time I took over B flight in March 41. Convoy protection in April, gun sight, shoot up, squadron formation, convoy patrols, air test, dusk patrol, high flying patrol, sea patrol, offensive sea patrol. We were on the offensive then, that's for sure.
This is spring 1941.
April 19, yes, spring. Sweep over Saint-Omer. May 1941. Same thing, dawn patrol, convoy patrol, air tests, flight attacks. At least more than one sortie a day. And June 41. Same sort of thing. And then on the 17th.
17th of June, 41.
Bombay escort to Lille. I got myself shot down over Saint-Omer, landed by parachute, got down to the Spanish frontier in 3 weeks, arrested, sentenced to 6 months civil prison, afterwards sent to Saint-Hippolyte Fort, Whitney Strait already there, all transferred to Fort de Revere, March 42, escaped from Fort on 23rd of August, 42, at 11:15 a.m., arrived blighty at the 2nd October, posted back to 56 on 6th of November. What a thrill.
If we can put the logbook down a moment, and if you can go from memory and tell me what your memories are of being shot down on the 17th of June 1941, and what happened to you in the months afterwards, please. How did the shooting down occur?
Well, we were escorting some bombers, bombing Lille, and I was leading the squadron, I think. Anyway, I was the middle group of fighters, and I was caught. A fighter which I didn't see, which was presumably intending to shoot the bombers, came up and shot me down. It's as simple as that. And stupidity probably on my part that I was too close to the bombers some people said at the time that the fighter escorts weren't there, the upper, we were the close, we used to call it close escort and upper escort, you see. The sometimes it was more often than not the Spitfires did the upper escort and the Hurricanes did the close escort. Anyway, I was shot down, and I suddenly found myself coming, that aircraft diving down on fire with the stick gone out of the control. I must have had a rocket or something under my legs. It took the flat part of the airplane away, and I was coming down. I pulled the hood back, and it was sucked out immediately. Pulled my chute. And it was a beautiful June day, the sun shining, and all the country laid out in fields. Oh, it was so superb. And whereas one moment there was all hell worth of noise, the next moment was peace and quiet, as you're floating in this parachute. And I landed near a wood, and I found I only had one flying boot, and I hid my parachute best I could, and looked out of the wood, and when as dusk approached, I switched. Would you switch off the receiver, please? I hid in the wood. I went to a cottage. It was early evening. It was getting dark. I went to the first house I saw and asked them in my schoolboy French whether they could give me another boot. And they gave me a pair of boots, and I think I regret this very much indeed, but I did not go after the war to see the people, French people, who had helped me. And I say this quite genuinely as a committed Christian, I should have done and said thank you to all the people who helped me. There were a large number who helped me. There were some that didn't. They were motivated by politics rather than their own feelings, and I'll come to that later. Anyway, this house I went to, they gave me a pair of boots. I then walked through the night, and I came to a farmhouse. It was early morning then, and I wanted to sleep, so I saw a woman in the yard, as it were, and I went to ask her, could I get down in the hay, in the straw, and then she showed me where I could put my head down, which I did, and I was down there only about 2 minutes before, obviously. Well, I imagine she told her husband what she'd done, and the next thing I saw was him saying, hey, up, out, rousing up, and away. So I had to get up and continue walking. I went down then to walk through the rest of the night until I wanted a drink, and I went, got to a crossroads, or a T-junction, I should say. And there was a cafe on the left-hand side, and I went in and asked for a beer, and they served me with a beer, and I then started to walk down the road, and I'd gone about 150 yards or some short distance anyway, and a car pulled up, and I said, can I have a lift? And they said, you're not French, are you? I said, no, I'm an English airman. Can you help me? Yes. So they took me back. The story now is in that book,
Home Run
by Dick Bickers. And that, I think, is the most reasonable
account,
yes, of my experiences. Do you want me to tell you anything about it?
Yes, if possible.
Well, a lot I will leave out. I eventually was helped by a doctor whose name I forget now. I'm so old that I can't remember the detail of these things. And in fact, the book that was written by Bickers, I did page by page, in the sense that I wrote something and then he looked at it and I gave back, and it was much more considered, and I was, you know, able, by reference to other books that had been written about me anyway, to be more specific. So please forgive me if I say again that maybe some people who helped me left out of my report. This doctor then took me by car, I think by car, to Lille, and introduced me to a chap called Paul Cole. At the time, I didn't know who he was, other than he was an English soldier. And he was living with this French woman, and it was there that I got my first identity card. It turned out later that he turned traitor and betrayed a lot of people who were shot and killed. But let me go on from Paul Cole. He took me then to a house.
Are you trying to think of a place in France?
Yeah, I better get the book to help me remember.
Well, we can refer to it later. Is it in northern France?
Oh yes, it's that down from Lille to the coast. You see, the Germans then had the country divided into three. There was Zone Interdite, which was, as the name suggests, you're not allowed to move around, and that was